You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This was a tweet yesterday from Buster Olney of ESPN. There is a desperate need for MLB, the Players Association, to talk about all the pitching changes and restoring the preeminence of the starting pitchers. It'd be better for the product, it'd be better for the union, given the importance of starters in setting market prices. This, according to this highly prominent reporter on this sport, is a desperate need. Good morning to you. Good Thursday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. This is Daily Shot of Pirates. It comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into football and or hockey. I also offer up daily shots of Steelers and Penguins where you found this. I am not here to go after Buster. This is a terrific reporter, terrific analyst, and a guy I've never had an issue with. Just a class gentleman in every context. So let me say that up front. Now, let me further say that this is everything that's wrong with the national baseball media, all encapsulated in a single tweet. If you're going to refer to something that is a desperate need for Major League Baseball and the Players Association to talk about, and the first thing that doesn't come from your mouth or your keyboard is a salary cap or some other way to address the gross and increasing economic imbalance among the majors' 30 teams, then wow, how do you do that? How do you tweet something like that and think to yourself, yeah, this is okay. This is okay. I'll put this out to an audience that will be receptive / understanding of this position. How do you do that? You want to know how? Because in that world where the baseball people, capital B, capital P, live, this is okay because this is all they see and hear and read. Because who's actually interested in baseball, or the most interested in baseball, certainly at this time of year? Well, of course, it's, you know, New York, Boston, Los Angeles, the big markets, the ones that compete on a regular basis, the ones that are there year after year. I could throw Houston into that too. Houston's a top five market in the United States. If you put all that into one, what do they call that in politics, whenever everybody's operating in the same environment? I don't know what the exact word is, but you know what I'm talking about. Where you just hear, echo chamber, that's it, echo chamber. You just hear from other people who are like-minded. If you're Republican, it's Fox News. If you're Democrat, it's MSNBC, whatever it is. You just hear what you want to hear. And so when you say something, you're used to just hearing back from that crowd. So whether you're, you know, ESPN or any other national outlet that's covering baseball on a regular basis, this is your world because it is the same handful of teams that are there year after year after year. And you don't hear from anybody in Pittsburgh or Baltimore or Cincinnati or Milwaukee, where they understand that there are real problems. And please don't come at me with the Brewers making the playoffs 3 years in a row. The Brewers have every right to compete on the same economic scale as everybody else. The Brewers would have won a World Series by now if they had. This isn't about who gets a free pass to win or a free pass to a championship. It's about having a fair system at the outset, at the foundation. So Buster puts out this tweet. I respond to it because I just can't. I can never resist with something like that. And I just say something to the effect of, like, really? Really? And he says, well, you know, I said, is this like the issue of desperate need? And he comes back with, well, you're the one who said the. I said, okay, well, you know, it's okay for you to discuss occasionally the desperate need. That was the end of our back and forth. Of course, a bunch of other people jumped in because that's the nature of Twitter. This portion of Daily Shot of Pirates is brought to you by North Shore Tavern, directly across Federal Street from PNC Park, home of Steak on a Stone, home of all kinds of baseball awesomeness from front to back, wall-to-wall Pirates memorabilia. Just a great, great place if you're a baseball fan and if you're one of those people who watches baseball playoffs in Pittsburgh. And I know there's got to be somebody. Come on down to North Shore Tavern. You'll be happy you did. And oh, by the way, the fries are back. The fries are back. If you have not had fries, the fries at North Shore Tavern, this is an error that's being charged in your column. So yeah, other people jump in on the conversation, and you can tell Buster's like totally taken aback that fans in Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and other places jump in like, seriously? Seriously? You think that pitching changes are the issue here for this sport that's dying in two-thirds of its markets? You think that's something that actually would resonate with the baseball fan across America? Pitching changes? The number of pitching changes? Look, baseball's got a bunch of issues. I would put pitching changes at about 97th on that list. But it's one, and there are a lot of them. The games are too long, blah, 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 all that stuff we talk about. The three true outcomes, walks and home runs, way too many strikeouts. But way atop that list is that this sport barely exists in a majority, at the very least, of its markets because those teams and their fans enter a season or multiple seasons or all eternity without hope. Without hope. There's no fandom without hope. Why do reporters, why do media people like Buster, who I appropriately acknowledge as being really, really, really accomplished at his craft, do this? Well, one is that echo chamber. But there's also a second reason. There's a reason why none of them, not one, will ever even breathe the term salary cap. Hell, they won't even discuss the economic imbalance other than to rip on owners in Pittsburgh and Boston, whatever. And all of that's justified, but the salary cap system kind of takes care of them too, you know, by forcing them into a range. A cap, contrary to a lot of widespread misperception, is not just the top. It's a ceiling and a floor that creates a range that's roughly $20 million. You don't even know or care who your owner is in a cap system because everybody's spending within the same $20 million range. Why don't they mention it? Why don't they say it? I will tell you the reason. and I know this from having covered Major League Baseball for the better part of 20 years now, half of which was spent on the day-to-day beat, in which I was dealing daily and intensely with agents. It's not that Major League Baseball gets mad about it. It's the exact opposite. Major League Baseball would love if all the writers were talking about salary caps. That's not how it works. The writers are in touch with agents. Agents feed them probably 99% of all of their breaking news. And again, I know this because I lived it. I'd be out going for a walk or whatever, and I'd hear something from Ryan Domit's agent or Freddie Sanchez's agent. And they would say, hey, you can get this before they put it out. And I'm running, I'm sprinting like a track star to get to my computer so I can put out this great big exclusive. And I'm thanking that person like crazy. Oh, thank you, Mr. Agent. Thank you. You're so nice. What else can I do for you? Yeah, sure. And you're getting into all kinds of conversations that at times can feel a little bit uncomfortable. You become beholden to the agents. I have been there. I am speaking from experience. This is why they don't discuss this. The moment one of them takes the position that there should even be economic fairness, never mind a salary cap, that there should be increased revenue sharing or a salary floor alone, as if that exists and it doesn't, they are out. O-U-T, out. And they can't do their jobs anymore. That's what this is about. That's what all of this is about. That's why no matter how strongly anybody, whether it's me or anybody else, challenges them, they never buckle. They never buckle. They never bring it up. And if they did, oh my goodness, this would be a very, very different dialogue that everybody would be having heading into a labor winter. When we come back, just one question. Question, and today's J1Q comes from Clay McInerney, who asks, if there is a work stoppage slash interruption, how will player development in the minors be affected? Will those prospects who are on the 40-man, such as Rowanzi Contreras, Miguel Yajure, O'Neill Cruz, Tucupita Marcano specifically, be unable to play in Indianapolis? They will not be able to play because they will be part of the 40-man roster. Any labor issue other than what you just heard about in the past week, constituting Major League Baseball's pledge to cover all housing for all minor league players, exempts the minors. The minors are in their own world when it comes to any sort of collective, anything really. You don't make it into the Major League Baseball Players Association until you are on the 40-man roster. And you have to be on the 40-man roster in order to be represented by the union. Which, by the way, is one of the many screwed up things about this entire process. Because on one hand, you're looking at Trevor Bauer getting $40 million a year to pitch for the Dodgers. Never mind what actually happened to him. I'm just referring to the pay rate. And then you're also hearing and reading stories from across the continent about minor leaguers who are living in legit poverty settings. Like, not like using the word to be dramatic, but actual poverty settings. Because that's just the way everybody in that union, at the top of that union, thinks. Everybody only ever focuses on the upper end. That's how they deal with their own players as well. A salary cap system would make more money for more players than the current system. But that's not the way they go about it. They want to make sure that they're taking care of Bryce Harper, and then whatever trickles down to the masses makes it there, or it doesn't. That's who they are, and that's been their approach going back, I mean, before Don Fair. And, this subject. I have a hard time with it. I don't do a whole lot of the, you know, this is how things were when I was da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever. But I remember what baseball was like when every team had the same chance. If your team stunk, it stunk on merit. If your team was great, it was great on merit. If your city supported its team, you'd be able to find a way to keep the players that you want to keep. If you didn't, oh well. Oh well, you were going to lose them. And this isn't that. This is nothing like that. It's hopeless. This system, as is currently constituted, is hopeless. And that's just an amazingly dark, dark place to be in sports, in the world of sports fandom. I don't know. If you guys are tired of me talking about this, let me know. This really resonates with me, especially this time of year when I'm watching the same four, five, six teams competing for the World Series. When I'm watching, who's even in this thing right now? I know the Dodgers have to be because they bought their way in. Dodgers and Braves and Red Sox and Astros. Yeah, that's really expanding the field there. If you guys don't want me to talk about this, let me know. I can get right back to positional breakdowns and let's go around the diamond and the prospects and whatever else here. In the meantime, today, go to dkpittsburghsports.com. And I mean this. You will see at the top of our site an extraordinary piece by Alex Stumpf, our Pirates beat writer, about the way the Pirates are developing talent, the methodologies that they're using. He went out and got his fingernails dirty and got himself an extraordinary story with examples, with powerful examples of things that are being done. You know what? How about we do this? Let's talk about Alex's story tomorrow instead of all this other nonsense. I appreciate everyone listening to Daily Shot of Pirates. We'll